Good morning. The peace of God be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious God, out of your love and your mercy, you breathed into dust the breath of life, creating us to serve you and our neighbors. Call forth our prayers and acts of kindness, and strengthen us to face life with confidence. We pray this day in Jesus. Amen. Our hymns will be in the red hymnal. I'll invite you to stand, hymn number 504, number 504. Prescribed lectionary reading for this day during this Tuesday in Lent is from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 21. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to the depths, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to heap abuse on celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not heap abuse on such beings when bringing judgment on them from the Lord. But these people blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like unreasoning animals, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed, and like animals, they too will perish. They'll be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech, who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These people are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Darkness is reserved for them. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turned their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
My political science senior seminar began the semester by watching Enemies of the People, a documentary film in which filmmaker Thet Sambath, whose family had been killed by the genocidal Pol Pot regime in the 1970s, Cambodia, gets to know some of the killers and leaders of the genocide 30 years later. Among those he interviews are peasants, who relate to him the places in the rice paddies where they dumped bodies, and who reenact how they slit people's throats with knives or waited to kill the pretty young woman until last. Over a three-year period, Sambath gains the trust of Nguyen Chia, brother number two, second in command to Pol Pot's violent regime, clearly responsible for the death of thousands. Nguyen Chia admits to a decision to kill enemies of the people who would sabotage their plans for a utopian communist order. He is old and fragile and lives a very simple life in a shack with his wife. After the release of the Enemies of the People film, in August 2014, he was convicted for crimes against humanity and at age 89 will remain in detention for the rest of his life. In 2013, he stated, "I feel remorseful for the crimes that were committed intentionally or unintentionally, whether or not I had known about it or not known about it." Nguyen Chia has not come to terms, at least publicly, with his evil doing. Meanwhile, the peasants whom Sambath interviewed are remorseful, one of them fearful that his karma is such that he will not be reborn as a human for many cycles to come. Evil. Peter is referring to ungodly false teachers, but lumps them together with a bunch of evildoers who love the wages of wickedness. Bold, arrogant, blasphemous, brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed, seducers, experts in greed, blackest darkness is reserved for them. Peter does not mince words. The passage is about revelers in sinfulness, totally depraved heathens who lead others astray. They never stop sinning. So maybe I'm doing a bit of cherry picking to pull out the words evildoers and wickedness and to include in this conversation perpetrators of genocide. But really, given this strong language of nastiness, who are these people? Do you know someone like this? Who do you think of as an evildoer? Now that you've thought of a particular candidate, is there anyone else that you actually interact with? I don't think most of us feel like we know someone who is evil or who loves the wages of wickedness. Many of us may reject the very concept of evil. Even in the Enemies of the People film, it is not hard to have sympathy for the peasant killers who slit hundreds of throats or more, such as the ponds bubbled up with the dead bodies. These low-level killers were caught up in something bigger than themselves and under threat of their own deaths unless they followed orders. Sembath even feels sad when the helicopter comes to take Nuon Chia, brother number two, an orchestrator of the Cambodian genocide, to the Khmer Rouge tribunals. He has slowly come to know the man and his family. And though Sembath's own family was killed by the regime, he does not hold hatred in his heart. Rather, he wants to know and understand why the killing happened. Oh, I know, here's one. Perhaps you're thinking of that smug drug price hiker, pharmaceutical executive Martin Shkreli, known for significantly raising prices on drugs. He was recently arrested on securities fraud charges. Didn't he seem pretty greedy, self-serving, and he looked the part of the smug, evil villain? But I think many in Western culture reject wholesale concepts of good, evil, or believe that there is capacity for good and even evil in all of us, so that we're all in the same boat, and there is indeed some truth in that. At the same point, or at the same time, the epic stories of more dichotomous good versus evil have enormous appeal. Star Wars, The Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, always with a room for a Darth Vader-like redemption, and the potential for good to succumb, such as in Frodo's attraction to Mordor. But generally, we might prefer to think, post-Enlightenment anyway, that evil resides in political, economic, or cultural systems, and that we are basically good. The evil in our systems can, through scientific progress, be changed. While I could not escape the wicked evildoer enemies today, they peered out from all the passages assigned, David claiming his righteousness compared to his enemies with their callous hearts and wickedness, Peter warning against false teachers for whom the worst of the worst is in store, and relaying God's judgment in the flood and on Sodom and Gomorrah, both times sparing only a few righteous, Noah and his family, Lot. Last Tuesday, Sarah Rubel noted how we find it hard to relate to psalms that cry out for punishment of our enemies because we lead pretty comfortable lives. Yes, it's hard for me to think of enemies or to call anyone I know wicked. So we resort to thinking of Hitler or Pol Pot or Martin Shkreli or maybe that politician we really dislike. The false teachers and the genocide leaders are both those who actively seek to flaunt the law of God, God's holiness, and seek to cause others to do so as well. Intention seems important. Leading others astray is also clearly an issue in the passage in 2 Peter. For genocide, intention must be established. And international law, while not excusing those who just follow orders, puts the highest accountability on the orchestrators who plan and give the orders, who lead others astray. There is some hierarchy in evil. Peter notes the secretiveness and seductiveness of the false teachers masquerading in the name of freedom. They are slaves to depravity. So we may not recognize them easily. Yet there is also ignorance, self-righteousness, self-deception, the banality of evil. There, but for the grace of God, go I. The awareness that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Against you, God, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, says the psalmist. We all flaunt God's law and holiness with regularity, and I dare say we have all led others to sin. Many of us can recognize that we live in a sinful and evil world, but want to take all of the human agency out of it. I will start with myself, not as a child of God, to be concerned that instead I am a slave to depravity, but in this Lenten season and each day to acknowledge God's holiness. Only through the lens of God's holiness do we understand how much we fall short. Only through the lens of God's holiness do we understand why the standards cannot be lowered, as the false teachers Peter talks about would have it. And only through the lens of God's holiness do we understand the type of punishments described by Peter. And only through the lens of God's holiness do we understand our need, unlike the bold and arrogant ones Peter describes, for humility.
I'll invite you to stand. We will sing hymn number 606, 606.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you led your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide us now so that we may walk safely through our wilderness and towards life in its fullness. Send us forth with grace and with peace to love and to serve. Thanks be to God.